first up on the teleconference is Wisconsin linebacker T.J. Edwards. Edwards is one of the leaders of the Badgers defense, which ranks among the top five nationally in numerous defensive categories. Edwards ranked second on the team with 67 tackles, including a team-high 11 tackles for loss. T.J., thanks for joining us today. If you could give us some quick opening comments about this weekend's game, and then we'll open the call for media questions.
Yeah, how you guys doing? We're very excited to be back in Indianapolis playing for the Big Ten Championship. Huge task at hand. Every guy here is very excited and looking forward to it.
Thanks, TJ. Let's go ahead and open it up for questions from the media.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Mark Snyder with Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, TJ, this is an offensive question to a defensive player, but could you talk about Jonathan Taylor and what he does for your team? Because obviously the better he runs, the more you're going to be on the sideline saving your energy. What has he brought this team as a freshman?
Yeah, he's a guy who, I think at any moment it can make a big play happen, and that's something that's very big for our offense. He's a very explosive guy, and I think the biggest thing with him is he's consistent, just being patient with holes and, just being a very bounce back is something that I think we needed, and he's brought that and more to this team.
When did you notice that, hey, this guy is going to be a special player?
I mean, I think just coming in, he's kind of built differently. He's built like an upperclassman. He looks like a junior or senior running back, coming in as a freshman. And then, our first live scrimmage we had against them, he was on the twos and, it was against the ones, and he broke a 85-yard run to the house against in our very first scrimmage. So it was either, we were going to be really bad or he was really good. And I think he's proven people wrong with that and helped, fix our approach with that as well.
Thanks, TJ. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And as a reminder, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
TJ, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
TJ, hold on one quick second. We have one last question. Let's go ahead and take that question.
All right, we do have a question from the line of Tim Belike with Cleveland.com.
TJ, when you look at this Ohio State offense, obviously you guys have seen them before. You saw them a year ago. When you look at the combination of backs they have with J.K. Dobbins, there's another really good freshman, Mike Weber, who you've obviously seen. What kind of challenge do you feel like that presents for this defense?
Yeah, it's a very big challenge. I think, they do what they do, and they do it very well. They've mastered their scheme that they run, and with the quarterbacks being so effective when they run is what makes them very tough. Their O-line has been really good this year at with schemes and, just doing a great job for the backs. And like you said, those two guys are very explosive. So, it's a huge challenge ahead, but, we're looking forward to it.
You guys lost Jack Sitchie at the start of the season. Obviously, he's such a key component of your defense. How much pressure do you feel like you had and some of the other guys had to try and step up to fill the void, and do you feel like you've done a good job of that?
Right. Like I said, he was our first captain picked, and losing him was very tough. But he's still with us every single day, on the field and things like that. And, I don't know if there's any added pressure, but it's something that, needed to happen where guys needed to step up. And I think Ryan Conley, Chris Orr, and myself have done a good job of, bringing that leadership to this defense, as well as a number of guys of Alec James and Connor Sheehy being the engine to make us go. So we've had a number of guys step up, and it's a very hard thing to do when you lose a guy like that, but we've responded very well.
And as a reminder, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay, TJ, thanks again for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yep.
And we'll next be joined by Wisconsin's Troy Fumagalli at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Chris.
Next up on the teleconference is Wisconsin tight end Troy Fumagalli. a preseason All-American and a finalist for the Mackey Award, Fumagalli has 38 receptions for 471 yards and four touchdowns this season. He's also a two-time academic All-Big Ten selection. Troy, thanks for joining us today. If you could give us some quick opening comments on Saturday's matchup, then we'll open the call for media questions.
Sure. Excited to be back in the Big Ten Championship. Great another opportunity for this group to keep moving forward and play a great opponent against Ohio State.
Thanks, Troy. Let's open it up for questions from the media.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Mark Snyder with Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, Troy, everybody probably knows your walk-on situation at Wisconsin, but how did that come about? Was it anything to do with your finger or that you really just had to play at Wisconsin and that's where you wanted to be? Could you just talk about that?
Yeah, so Wisconsin was the first place I visited. I had some smaller school offer me, MAC schools, North Carolina State offer me, but that was the first place I visited. I really fell in love with the walk-on tradition here, the coaching. So, you know, I wasn't afraid to walk on, so that's what I chose to do.
And with regard to the finger, were you aware that Bob Wickman was a major league pitcher with one finger missing because of a farming accident, or Jim Abbott, or Fred Arbanis was a tight end with the Kansas City Chiefs playing, and he had one eye. Could you just talk about how you have been able to develop despite, I guess you can't call it a handicap anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I was born with it, so it's second nature to me. You know, everything has been easy. I've been able to do since I was used to it since birth. So, I don't see it as a handicap or anything. I'm so used to it, and that's just kind of the way of life. I've been able to do things. I don't see it that way.
And growing up in a football family, where your brother played baseball at Dayton and another brother played football and your dad, what was it like growing up in that situation? It sounds like you had a game going on the TV all the time, or maybe playing all the time.
Yeah, it was huge. Just been able, because I looked up to those. You know, my brothers are 6 and 8 years older than me, so I always looked up to them growing up, and being role models and being on the football field and just competing with them in the backyard and things like that. I think that definitely has made an impact on where I am today.
Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Daly with Hero Sports.
Hey, Troy, I hope you're doing well. You were a redshirt freshman for the Big Ten Championship loss 3 years ago. Do you and the other fourth and fifth year guys ever talk about that game? And if so, is it used as motivation, or do you kind of just simply look past it knowing that this is a different team with a different path?
It's something I keep in the back of my mind. It's not brought up in team meetings or settings like that. It's just a little motivational tool I keep in the back of my mind, but a lot of the focus in the locker room and on this team is just is about this week, is about this year. Not much said about that. It's just focused on just one more game and beating Ohio State this week.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim Belike with Cleveland.com.
Roy, Paul Chris has been there for 3 years. What do you think he's been able to do that has made him so successful, not just as a coach there, but when he was an assistant and offensive coordinator for the years before you got there?
He really believes in this place, and he believes in the type of guys around this place. I think, that's the biggest thing is the culture around here. You come in with that lunch pail mentality. You come in ready to work each day. And I think he really embodies that. You know, he believes in us and things like that.
When you guys lost in 2014, he came in. What did he do to really, keep things on the right track after you guys lost? Because, obviously you guys were probably down after 59-0 that loss in 2014. What did he do to rebound this program and keep things going and make sure there wasn't a drop-off?
We ended up winning the Outback Bowl that year. Right after that bowl game, we beat Auburn in the Outback Bowl. So, things were already kind of on track. We had a young team at the time, young O-linemen, a lot of the same faces. So we just did the best we could and to Coach Chris especially, just keep moving forward, keeping those guys, level-headed in the 2015 and so on.
As a reminder, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a question from the line of Rick Armstrong with the Aurora Beacon.
Hey, Troy. Just wondering how you guys are thinking about or looking at the playoff situation. Have you paid much attention to that?
Not at this time. I think, all our focus is just winning this next game in the Big Ten Championship and letting things, plan out after that.
Has it given you guys kind of a chip on the shoulder being undefeated but not being in that top four for so long?
I wouldn't say so. I think that we understand, we believe in ourselves, and we understand that that if we take care of business this week, there shouldn't really be any problem with that. So we're just focused on this week and in this game.
For you personally, how's the season gone? Are you happy with the way things are going for you offensively?
Yeah, I think I think our offense is moving. Is moving in the right sync. I think we're doing a great job so far, being able to run and throw the ball. So I think we're doing well. We're improving each week.
Okay, thanks much.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Mark Snyder with Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, Trey, a question about Jonathan Taylor. Just a freshman, he came in as a four-star, so obviously everybody knew about him. But when did you in your heart of hearts know that, hey, we've got something here?
Yeah, week two or three at camp, we had a scrimmage at night, and he had a really great scrimmage. I think he broke on one play, break four or five tackles, and then the next play, five or six. And he was with the two offense at the time against the one defense, and we know how good our defense is. So for him to be able to do that, that was kind of the staple, like, wow, this guy could be special.
What's he like on the field? Is he demonstrative? Is he a quiet guy?
Yeah, he's quiet. He keeps to himself. You can kind of tell that he's got that chip on his shoulder, and he's ready to work. He's quiet, but you can definitely tell he's focused and determined.
And he's had some games where he's just been a workhorse for you, 29, 30, 35 carries. What's he like physically to block for?
He's strong. He hits the hole hard. I think that's the biggest thing is with our big offensive line. We need someone to be able to, throw it in there and keep their feet moving, turn a 2 or 3 yard run into 4 or 5. That's kind of been our staple here. So he puts his shoulder down. He runs hard. And when he gets in the secondary, he can make people miss too.
Thanks, Troy.
Yep, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim May with Columbus Dispatch.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you've gotten to watch any video of Ohio State yet. I would think you probably have a little snippet, but I'm just wondering how much number six, Sam Hubbard, the defensive end, specifically jumps out at you. And, obviously he seemed to be all over the field at times on Saturday at Michigan, but just what's your take on him?
Yeah, we just started watching film today, just a little bit on him. As a fan throughout the season, I've been able to watch some games, but I think a lot of their D line, especially, is a lot of guys coming back. They're strong, they're physical, they play hard. So six, as well as all the other guys, I think it'll be a great challenge for us this week.
Yeah, and when you look at them, how would you describe their defense to somebody if you had to do it? If it was a little term paper or something. Coach Chris wanted.
I would say they're athletic. I think that they're big and they're physical, but I think they move very well. But their linebackers and their D line, they're a more athletic group.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Troy, thanks again for joining us. Look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Yep. Thank you.
And we'll next be joined by Wisconsin's Michael Dieter momentarily. Next up on the teleconference is Wisconsin offensive tackle Michael Dieter. D,
Dieter has been a key contributor to the Badgers' offensive line this season, starting all 12 games while helping Wisconsin average 426 yards per game. Dieter was named to the watch list for the Outland and Remington trophies earlier this season. Michael, thanks for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments on Saturday's game, then we'll open the call for some questions from the media.
Thanks for having me. Really all I would say is just super proud of this team to this point to go 12-0. I think that's something you definitely have to reflect on. It's not an easy accomplishment by any means. And then we're not done. Super excited about this week's opportunity and to have a chance to win the Big Ten outright. Just super proud and just super happy for what we've done. And then we know we're not done and just got to keep working.
Thanks, Michael. Let's take questions from the media.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Mark Snyder with Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, Michael, Jonathan Taylor just looks like he's just made to play this game, but what's it like? Because there could be a lot of pressure on him with Wisconsin's great tradition with running backs. How has he handled all this year?
I think he's handled it very maturely. For being a freshman, I think he's acted older than he really is. Like you said, there's a ton of pressure just playing that position at this university with the tradition it brings. But he hasn't let it get to him. And really, he just keeps battling. There's nothing that really weighs on him, even when he puts the ball on the ground, stuff like that, stuff that you don't want to happen. He has a really mature mindset when it comes to all that, and he bounces back, and he knows that he trusts his talent, and he'll make plays eventually, and he just keeps chugging.
And with regard to Troy Fumagalli, he acts like it's just matter of fact. I mean, he started as a walk-on, and the fact that he's missing a finger, it just he's really overcome all odds. Could you just talk about what this guy is like during the heat of the battle and during the game?
Fum's an awesome guy, first and foremost. And he's just a guy that just works. He's been, like you said, he's been dealt a weird hand, I would say. And with his situation, I think he's done a fantastic job of really not listening to anything but his own confidence and trust in his own talent and really working to make himself the best player he can possibly be. He's super smart, and that shows up, you know, on the field. He does everything the right way. So it's definitely no surprise the way he is as a person to see him having the success he has and the contributions he's given to this team.
And I'm talking to the right guy with regard to his blocking. Obviously, when you play for Wisconsin, you got to block. What's his blocking like? We all know about his pass-catching ability.
What was that?
His blocking ability. We all know about his pass-catching ability, but
yeah.
What about that?
It's definitely something that he takes to heart. He takes a lot of pride, especially being at this university. You can't be one-dimensional at that position, and he knows that, and he's really worked to become a really good blocker, and he shows that. He puts that on tape. He works at his blocking just like he does his routes, his hands, all that stuff. It's just as important to him, even though it's not really a stat line. That's not something that he's worried about. He just goes out and he really works on that technique, even though it's probably harder for him than it is to run routes and catch balls. And that just says a lot about who he is and really how he understands his role as a tight end for this university and this program. And it really has helped him to become an all-around good tight end.
Our next question comes from the line of Cal Rowland with Toledo Blade.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Just wondering, the move to left tackle, how difficult was that, and how kind of would you assess how you've played this season?
It was not as hard as I thought, but it was not easy. But at the end of the day, it's still offensive line, no matter where you're playing it. It's not an easy position. But it definitely has its differences in being inside. And I think I've done well, but I wouldn't say that it was, you know, fantastic. I've arrived as a left tackle. anything like that. But I think it's gone smooth. I think it's been a way for us to get our best five offensive linemen on the field. And I think that I was able to play 12 games there, so it was good enough. But I still think it's been pretty solid.
And I assume when you came to Wisconsin, you probably didn't expect to seemingly play every position on the line. Just what has it been like, kind of making yourself versatile and just going through several changes?
It's actually been a lot of fun. I think it's really cool to be able to bounce around and have the ability to bounce around. It's just a little more twist to this game. And it's something that looks good, and it's makes it more fun to me to go out and be able to have confidence playing three positions. It's something that I think is really cool, and I'm actually pretty proud of it. And it doesn't require a ton of extra work, but it's mostly mental stuff, just understanding how each position, you know, works and little intricacies of each spot. And I just think it's been a lot of fun to be able to play all three.
And then obviously Saturday, I mean, the stakes are huge for both teams, so it's not like you need any added significance. But just being an Ohio kid, is there a little hole there that makes it mean a little more to you?
I think so. I think when it comes to being an Ohio kid, what really adds the extra is all your friends, you know, all my friends back home. I have so many friends that are Ohio State fans, stuff like that. And it's just cool because you know that they're rooting for you, but also rooting for the team you're playing against. And it's kind of just like fun bragging rights, stuff like that. I think that's really where I feel the extra weight on the game is. I think it'd just be nice to have that fun bragging rights for all your friends when you go back home on break and stuff like that. And know that you beat a team that you grew up watching and they were all huge fans of, and they still are huge fans of. And I just think it just adds a little bit of fun to it.
We have time for one final question from the media.
And our final question comes from the line of Tim May with Columbus Dispatch.
Well, thank you very much. Michael, if somebody had to ask you to describe Hornibrook in a couple of sentences, how would you describe him, and what does he bring to the table from your vantage point?
I would definitely describe him as calm and confident, even when things aren't going his way. He's definitely had some moments this year where I know fans were down on him. Maybe he didn't have his best game, and it didn't waver him at all. He stayed focused, and he made big plays in big games when we needed him to. And he's always been a confident guy in the huddle. He leads. He's never too high, never too low. He's always right where he needs to be, knowing that play is there to be made, and he's eventually going to make it. So I think he's been a really steady figure for the offense to look at and say, that's just how you got to be. Football is weird sometimes, and if you let it get to you, you're not going to play good, and if you think you're above it, you're not going to play good. And I just think he's done a really good job of balancing all that.
I got you. And one last quickie. This may sound kind of weird, but do you feel like you are on one of the elite teams in the country? And what is that feeling like? You know, obviously you guys are very much in the conversation, the mix for the college football playoff, et cetera. What is it like to be on a team that's being regarded like that? Do you sense that you are on a special team?
Yeah, I definitely do. Just to be in this conversation is special. It's not easy to do. To be in this moment where we are right now, it's something that you have to step back and really think, wow, this was not easy to do. It's definitely not easy to do any year, and it's a special thing. I think this is a special team, and to say it's not would be a lie. To go 12-0 is hard, and to be in the conversation of being in the playoff it's an honor, and it's something you have to be proud of. But you can't really get caught up in it. I think you just got to stay, level with your approach and just whatever got you to this point and fall back on it. Don't get caught up in all the hype, because I think that's a really easy way to slip up.
Michael, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
All right. Thank you.